Praise Him. We're glad you're here, Miss Debbie. It's good to be at church on a Sunday, is it not?
Amen.
Wouldn't bother me if it was Saturday or Monday. I'd still say it's good to be at church. I love to go to church. If you got a Bible this morning, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And if you're not sure where that's at, it's right after 1 Chronicles. Chapter number 20 of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Not Corinthians, but Chronicles. I'm glad He don't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I'm glad He's still God. We ain't got to worry about all the other mess that's going on. We just need to look to Him. Amen. I'll share something with you this morning. Telling on myself. But yesterday I was doing some studying. And the Lord convicted me while I was doing my studying about things in life that I've taken for granted. And I got there and started thinking, and you might think this is silly or whatever you think, but the Lord convicted me about it. And I started thinking about things as my children was getting older. And I started to cry while I was in my office, and I become overwhelmed with tears. And just thinking about my responsibilities in life as a father, as a husband, as a shepherd. And I thought, Lord, as my children get older, have I been everything that I'm supposed to be, that when they leave the nest of this house, that they're going to know what to do in times of trouble? Have I, as a husband, have I led my family in the right way? The church. And the Lord started convicting me and bringing things and just all kind of, nothing bad, but I'm just talking, just times I've failed Him started coming back over my mind. And I sit in a chair and I begin to weep, and it just become overwhelmingly. And I got down on my knees and I told the Lord, I sure thank You for everything You've done for me. Everything You've done for me, Lord. And I couldn't name all my blessings. If you can name all your blessings, well, you must not have many. Because I can't name all the things that the Lord's done for me. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for me today already that I can't even thank Him for everything that He's done for me. And as I sit there, I said, Lord, help me to be what I'm supposed to be in all phases of my life. Because see, if I just pray that I'll be a godly husband, I'll fail as a father. If I just prayed to be a godly father, I'd probably fail as a husband. Or if I just prayed that I'd be a godly shepherd, what if I failed my family? And God told me, He said that there's balance you need in life. And as long as you keep Me first, I'll help you with everything else. And I've learned to trust Him. And I tell you, church, when we need help, we've got to find Him and seek Him for the help that we need. We're living in a day, as you cut on the news, everybody's looking for help of some kind. Different groups, different organizations, they're all wanting change, they're wanting help. They're looking for things. They want their agendas pushed, their narrative of whatever it is. But you know what? Nobody's pushing, as you read the newspapers and you hear of all these groups that's going out. You hear of nobody talking about seeking God. Not many. I'm not saying there ain't nobody that I've heard. I've not heard nobody talking about seeking the Lord for the help. They want to tell us that the country's divided, and it is. And I stand up here to tell you that it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. The Bible says, how can you love your brother, or how can you love God whom you have not seen, but love your brother, and hate your brother which you have seen? That tells us right there that that's within our heart. And the problem is, we're too busy looking on the outside of things that we're not looking at the character and moral integrity of others. But people are so quick to judge that way. The Bible says, He told Samuel, He says, I look on the inward appearance. He said, quit looking on the outside. That'd be some good advice for us this morning. Quit looking on the outside of everything. Start looking on the inside. We've got to learn to love each other. Does that mean that you've got to be tolerant of everything? That ain't what your Bible says. Does that mean you've got to be accepting of everything? That ain't what your Bible says. But what your Bible does say is that we better love one another. That's a commandment of the Lord, is to love them. So we are to love one another. And I love you this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want to look over a prayer of Jehoshaphat that he prayed. He come to a time in his life, he was a king. And he said these armies were coming, and they was coming to invade. And after they had gone out of Egypt, God had told Jehoshaphat, he said, you know what, in these times, he said, I don't want you to invade the Moabites and Amorites and Edom. He said, I don't want you to invade those countries. They couldn't invade them. And now we look at here in chapter number 20 where it talks about these countries are coming to invade the Israelites. Jehoshaphat said, what are we going to do? He said, I think I'll pray. He knew where to go for help. And in times of trouble, you've got to know where to go. A lot of times it ain't your phone calls that you pray looking for, or times of phone calls you go looking for somebody for some help. We need to be seeking God this morning for help that we need in our life. And that's exactly what Jehoshaphat did. I won't ask you to stand, but I'm going to read you some verses here. These countries started coming. These people started coming to invade them. And it says in verse number 3, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And I notice right there in his prayer, it says that he feared. And I don't think that he feared so much that he was scared to death, but I think he had a fear if he knew what could happen if he didn't seek the Lord. That if he did not seek God's help. And he said right there, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Boy, it's getting in a good spot right there, is it not? They're all coming together to seek the Lord. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord and before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee sanctuary therein for thy name's saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before thee this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when thou came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O Lord God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Let me reread that 12th verse. That's where we're going to be this morning. O Lord, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Will you pray for us this morning? Father, we love you. We thank you again for the reading of your scriptures. We pray, God, just wanting to thank you for the service so far. We thank you for your presence being here this morning. Would you help us? Would you anoint us? And would you touch us? We pray, God, that you'd meet the need of the hour here at the church house, God. We pray, Lord, that you'd stir our hearts. And Father, if there be one here that's lost, we pray that today would be the day that they come to know you for it's too late. We pray, God, that as we read through these texts, Lord, that it would remind us how we need to keep our eyes upon you. Father, we love you, and we thank you for that march up Calvary's Hill that you died in our place. Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Amen and amen. Four things from this prayer that I was looking at as we break down this verse of how this invading army had come into Jehoshaphat. And then he started to ask these questions in his prayer that we went over in verse number 12. And notice with us in the prayer that he wanted to know, is there a punishment for evil? He said in that first part, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? And as we look, we talked about a while ago that they couldn't invade these these other cities when they was leaving Egypt, but now we see that they have turned and they have come and made them. And in times like today, we see as it was then, that we wonder sometimes, how long is this evil going to be here? It's evil in politics. There's evil nations. There's evil men. There's evil women. And we wonder sometimes when we pray, God, do you not notice what's going on? Do you not care? Will you not help us? Will you not handle this evil? But the answer is a resounding yes. He will handle this evil. My Bible tells me that the wicked will be cut off. You see, the problem is we think God is supposed to answer our prayers when we pray. We think He's supposed to answer right then. And God's timeline is not our timeline. He's got a way of doing things. His timeline tells us that He's doing it for a purpose, for a reason. What is this reason for? Why did He allow this to come about? Where is the punishment for evil? Jehoshaphat said, God said, I will take care of this. You need to seek me to do it. He showed Jehoshaphat as the king, as the leader. And today we see, as I've seen the other day on the news, there ain't much reported news. But I noticed for our president, he said we need to be seeking God. For everything that's going on, we need to be seeking God. Tell me when the last time you heard a president say that. Whether you like him or you don't like him, tell me when the last time you heard a president say that. Say we need to be seeking God. Church, we need to be seeking God for everything that's going on in our life. And don't say these times can't get bad enough that there's not enough evil that we'll always be together in church. You don't know what the years are holding. But I can tell you what, you get a certain company in office, you might not be able to carry your Bible no more. You might not be able to talk about God publicly no more. We might not be able to gather. A lot of times we think that it's a virus that's keeping us from gathering. I mean, it's sin that's going to keep us from gathering. It's evil hearts. It's evil motives that's going to keep us from gathering. And there's going to be a punishment for evil. You can rest assured of that. You mark that down. Take it to the bank. There's going to be a punishment for evil. Jehoshaphat said, God, will you not judge them? We get a little worried over here about these things. We're fearful about some things. And I wonder what happened, because if you go back to chapter 17, verse 14, it tells us that Jehoshaphat had put together an army of 300,000 people. That's a lot of people. How many was coming against them? He said, will you not judge them? They coming. They not coming to play around. We ain't coming to wrestle. They coming to kill us. They coming to cut our heads off. They coming. I don't know what they're going to do to us, but they coming for us. Lord, will you not judge them? We see that a lot of times and why that happens, but God will judge. And you can rest assured in due time that God will condemn sin. He's going to judge that evil. It's coming. You remember World War II? I was reading an article about that where it talks about during World War II that Germany and Japan and Italy, how they was overrun with evil wicked leaders, is what it said. And they were running hard in the world. But I'm going to tell you something. God set judgment on top of them. And you know what? In a pit of shame and humiliation, He dethroned everything that they did. Sin will be punished. Evil will not go unjudged. You rest assured about that. We wonder, we look around and we say, God, is this here permanently? Is this evil that's coming upon us, is this permanent? What's going to happen? It seems like evil's running the roost in a lot of places that they are. I mean, it's everywhere. Well, it ain't down where we live. Well, it ain't. You just wait. It's coming. It's not down there in our cities. Everything going on. It's not down there at our courthouses. It's not down here in our state yet. You just wait and see. Evil don't care where they're at or what's going on. They want to prevail in everything.
Amen.
You know what that is? God allows things to happen, but don't you think for a minute that the devil don't send things because he wants to know what you're going to stand about. What's your stand going to be? So that leads me to the next point right there. Not only the punishment of evil, look at the problem of weakness. The problem of weakness. Jehoshaphat said, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Talked about right there. Jehoshaphat recognized that he had a weakness. And you know, our greatest enemy today is not the enemy, is not another enemy. It's pride that's inside of us. That's our greatest enemy. We ourselves are our greatest enemy. And pride will refuse to humble itself to know that you have no ability to handle the things of this world. When we learn to be humble about things and pray about things and let pride get out of the way and learn to be humble about things, we will see that we need God's ability to make it every day. It's not what we can do, but it's what God will do through us. And Jehoshaphat recognized that. He said there's a problem with this weakness. We see sometimes that God will allow things in life to overwhelm us, so we seek Him for His help. Don't let the things of life discourage you. When we say that there's no way out, anybody ever been there? There were times, trouble, times, and the trials come upon you so much, you didn't know what to do. He said we didn't know what to do. There's a problem here with this weakness. We have no fight against this stuff that's come upon us. You ever faced a storm so big, you thought there's no way I can make it through this. This mountain top that I'm trying to climb, it's too high. It's too wide. I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know what Jesus, you know what Paul wrote down? He recorded what Jesus said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. He said, "For my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." That's what Jesus said. That's why we need to seek God for help, because He said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." A lot of times we think it's our strength that gets us through. It's not your strength. Without God giving us the strength, we have no strength. He said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." He never told you your strength is made perfect in weakness. A lot of times people think, "Well, if I'm just physically strong, I can handle any enemy that comes my way." Well, if I'm just mentally strong, I can handle any circumstance that comes my way. If I'm just spiritually strong, I can handle the devil anytime. I don't want to face the devil's weakest angel. I don't. I'm no match for them. But with God, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. It's through God. It's not me. I don't have the ability. But I'm going to tell you some ability that I do have. I know to go seek God when I need help. That's my ability. That if I learn to trust in Him. And you know what? He faced crisis times. He faced crisis times. And you, when you live, there might come a day when you find, when you go through these crisis times. The greatest thing you can have is that moral courage, because you know what it does? When you learn to trust God, it makes the weakest mighty. Read your Bible. It's in there. The weakest mighty. Anybody else ever felt like that? Felt like you're too weak to fight back? You're too weak to stand up? You're too weak to keep going? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Everybody here has a weakness. Everybody. I'm not asking you to stand up and tell what it is. That's your weakness. I've got plenty of them. I don't have one. I've got plenty of them. We've got to learn to trust in God and seek Him for His help. Seek God! That's what He told us right there. Not only a problem of weakness. Let me give you another one in there. The perception of duty. So He said, "God, will you not judge them? We don't have no might against them." He said, "Neither we know what to do." There's a perception of duty there. He said right there, not only did he realize that he had a lack of power, because he said we have no might, but there was no perception of duty. He said, "What do you want us to do? We don't know what to do." Well, my Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, "Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God." You've got to seek God in these things. Jehoshaphat's laying down a blueprint right there of what happens when the army comes to him. You know what? We wonder sometimes, what kind of army is going to be coming against us? You know what? A lot of times the army coming, it's not the invading army that comes against us. A lot of times, you know what the invading army is to us? It's not a bunch of soldiers. It's not a bunch of people. It's dictations. It's pressure from the world. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "It's rulers of darkness of this world." Those are the things of our enemies.
Amen.
We think that the enemy's going to be another country that wants to come and invade us. We think it's a lot of time the countries over there on the east. Right? We think that's our greatest enemy. That's the one that's coming. No. It's the temptations that we battle each and every day. Preacher, how do you know what my temptations are? I don't know what they are, but everybody's temptation might be different. The things that bother you might not bother me. But the things that I struggle with, you might not struggle with.
Right.
We're all different. But one thing that makes us all the same is that we better get a hold of God when the time of trouble.
Amen.
We better learn to get a hold of God. He said, "Neither we know what to do." He didn't know what to do with us. God, I'm struggling. You know some of the best prayers that you can pray in your life? It ain't a 10-minute prayer. It's not 20 prayer. No, I'm not telling you don't pray this long. You tell God everything you want to tell Him, everything that's on your heart. But what I've learned, the best that I've got a hold of God, and more times than none, it's when I just say, "God, help me. God, help me."
about the things that you're struggling with. Tell God the things that's holding you down. Tell God whatever it is in your heart that's keeping you from serving Him, from worshiping Him. Whatever it is, tell God what it is. Well, I thought God already knows everything. He does. But He wants you to talk to Him about it. Sometimes it might be good for me just to bow somewhere, find me a spot and say, God, it's me, John Allen, again. Yeah. Well, he already knows your name. Yeah, but sometimes I just like to tell him again. I don't want him to forget. It's me again. And Lord, I'm struggling. I told you when I first started out, I was struggling with some things. Taking lessons for granted. And I wonder sometimes, God, how many people have I let down in my life by not being worshiped? Not that I did it on purpose. But sometimes we get so overwhelmed that things in life happen. And we put set aside things that are a priority in our life. Preacher, what's priority in your life? I tell you what better be a priority in your life. It better be God. Let me tell you something else that ought to be priority in your life. Priority in your life, it ought to be the King James Bible that ought to be priority in your life. Find you a place, study, and get in it every day. Prayer time ought to be a priority in your life. You ought to find you a place to pray. Well, preacher, I get up so early in the morning. I didn't tell you I get up at 4:30 every morning. Find you a place to pray. You ain't got to sit down there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. You feel like you need to, you better. Find you a place to pray to start your day. Ask God to help you throughout your day. If you give God the first part of your day, He'll walk with you through the rest of your day. Find you a place to pray. Church ought to be important to you. Because you're going to struggle out there in this world. Church ought to be a priority to you. He said that. The writer of Hebrews writer said that in 10:25. Not saying to send yourselves together. Because we need to encourage each other in the days that lie ahead. We're going to go through troubled times. And we are supposed to be there to encourage each other. I need encouragement. I need encouragement. I'm not looking for plaques and things like that. But I do need some prayers.
Amen.
We're going to make a plaque. Let's put a plaque that says, to God be the glory. Then that'd be a good plaque to have. There was a problem. There was a protection. There was a punishment. But look at the last one right here. The practice of worship. He said in that last verse, he said, but our eyes are upon thee. You know what it tells us right there? That our eyes are upon thee. Even though no matter how overwhelmed that Jehoshaphat got, he knew where to go. He knew where to worship.
Amen.
Preacher, how do you know he did this? I know he had a great victory in this. His people had great victories. This king went to battle and they had a great victory. How do you know? Let's read to you. Let's start reading right here in verse 15. Because it says, then upon Jehazel, you look at verse 14, talks about the sons and who he was. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Here's the Lord answer. Look what he says. The Lord uses him. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude. Here it is. For the battle is not yours, but God.
Amen.
When we learn to let God fight our daily battles, we allow His strength, to help us with our weaknesses. Tomorrow, know ye that against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them in the brook before the wilderness of Jerusalem. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. It talks about a victory right now. I'm going to keep going, but I'll stop here just for a minute. Look how it says, right? The battle is God. God fight for you to see the salvation of the Lord. But he told the people there was something you would have to do. He said, all you have to do is show up and stand up and be still.
Amen.
And watch what I did. A lot of times we want God to just hang with everybody. We don't even want to get out of bed. We don't want to go to work. We don't want to go down to church. We want God to take care of everything that's going on in our life. God says, what is this? There's things you need. I'm going to be there. standing up and just staying still. It might be today. But you know what? All these groups we was talking about this morning think they got it so bad. Let me tell you something. We heading for a day where the Christian doesn't be seeking God. We the group. We the people that's fixing to be persecuted. We the people that are going to want to shut up. You don't believe that? They don't want you to gather at church, but they'll let you gather those that are going to be alone. Right? They don't want you to gather in some of these other places that they sure encourage and protest today.
Right.
So obviously, the Bible can't get it on Lowe's, on Depot, Walmart. It can't get it while you're protesting. It can't get it while you're riding. It can't get it while you're tearing up things. But if you come to those church doors, you're going to get the Bible.
Amen.
It's amazing how that power works, isn't it? And I'm not putting down the virus. I don't want that virus. I don't want it. I'm trying to wash my hands as much as I can at work. When you sanitize it, I try to stay away from people. If you're sick, like I said, if you're sick, stay home. If I'm sick, I promise you I'll stay home.
Amen.
And we'll do something different. I don't want this virus. I know this virus is real. But it only matters to some of these who, the cities. It only matters when they live in this what they want.
Right.
If God wants to give you this virus, He'll put it inside your lives. Don't think it can't be. God never wanted any of us to stick our head in sin. I'm afraid we got too many Christians that stick our head in sin. Amen. You know, kind of like when He wants us to stand up and stand out the crowd. But you know what? We feel a little more comfortable if we just melt into the bigger crowd. I've done that. My whole one, I've done that where instead of standing up and going out, I've done it. But you know what I've learned? I've learned to stand up no matter if nobody's going to stand with you. When God says stand, stand. You know why? Because He's the one that's going to
speak. Amen.
I'm not here to
be. Right.
God wants to know who's on the Lord's side. And I'm here to tell you, I'm on the Lord's side. I don't care what they think about it. You can say certain things, and nowadays it seems like everything, you can say anything. It seems like whatever words you use, it's going to offend somebody. We're living in the foolish nation that I've ever seen in my life. We've got some good things, but I can say something about offending somebody else out there. It's crazy how you can do that.
Right.
And I'm not apologizing for what God made me.
Amen.
I will stand up for the Lord. The Lord fights my battles. And He said His word, why do you fear in man and only destroy your body? He said, you better fear God and destroy the body of the Son.
Right.
I know we get scared. We get weak. We get fearful. Everybody does those things. There's going to be some, I promise you, these must hear and say, not me. I'm a rock. I'm ready for whatever comes my way. Let me tell you something. There is something that everybody is afraid of. Everybody.
Amen.
I've seen some of the biggest, most muscular men talk about how they're scared, afraid of. You think, well, my goodness, what are they doing? They're military. I've seen the military boys. They're so big, they can't kill people. It's everything. Spiders and mice. Don't sit there and tell me you need a bad thing to walk. Scared. Well, everybody's scared of something. We need to learn to seek God and be ready to stand for some things. He said the practice of worship. Let me finish this and I promise we're done. He said in verse number 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. I like the way that they come together. He said all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. Worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Korahites and the children of the Korahites, first one was Kohathites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Skip down with me right here in verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of his holiness. Amen right there. And they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, when they started having church, look what happened right here. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. What does those last few words say? And they were sneaking.
Amen.
We've got to learn to praise the Lord. I believe you can praise God through the fears. I believe you can praise God through the anxieties. I believe you can praise God through the hurt, the pain, and everything that you're going through. I believe you can praise God, and He's going to take care of what you need. He said they got together, they started singing, preaching, what was they singing? God. God. You know what? I've been just as guilty as anybody else proclaiming that Donald Trump will make America great again. He can't do it. As much as he tries and as much as he loves our country, he cannot do it. Only God can make America great.
Amen.
Only he can do it. But if we just learn to see him and his face and get in the way that Jehoshaphat did, the Bible says that he bowed his head and put his face to the ground. He worshiped and prayed and embraced his Savior. Why do you think that church is so important? You do not know. Let me tell you something. When we come to church and we learn to praise, we learn to pray, we learn to get into them singing, we learn to get into them altars, we learn to lift our hands, we don't even know what God's going to go ahead of us and do. The battle. You know what? Just by your praying and your praising and your singing, you don't even know what God's going to smite this week for you. You have no idea. A lot of times we sit back, right? You know what I've been guilty of? Been sitting back, waiting for God to do something for me, but not thank you. Why don't I go ahead and thank you for what He's going to do?
Amen.
Why don't I just go ahead and thank God for what He's going to do? Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I've got important doctor's appointments coming up. There's things going on with me mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Everything. There's things going on with me. Why don't you stop this morning and just praise God for a few minutes and pray to Him, sing to Him, talk to Him, let Him know what you got going on. And God said, all right, I'll go ahead and I'll buy this out for you.
Amen.
You can go somewhere. Let me tell you something. I've seen God do miraculous things in my life. You don't believe it, but He's the first one. He saved my soul. Pretty righteous.
Amen.
If He don't do nothing else for me, then He's doing nothing back. If He woke me up this morning, He's giving another day. I believe you can praise away the hurt and pain in your life, whatever it is. I believe it. Maybe what we do today, might go forth this week and God find something over here to handle. A lot of times we think, well, life's pretty good. Life's going good for me. Ain't nothing bad going on. Everything's just taken care of. Everybody in the family gets along. Thanks, the job's going good. My car's is working. Praise God, the air conditioner's working. We got a roof over our heads. Everything's going good. Don't forget to thank God for those things.
Amen.
Because this week might be the week Joseph puts work in. Don't believe me, but Johnny told me coming in this morning, saying, we're camping. Got down there? And the air conditioner went out. Praise God for air conditioning. I couldn't live. I'm too much of a baby. I couldn't live back when my grandparents were some of the family group. There's no way out of it, man. I cried to my dad today. I love air conditioning. I'm thankful for it. I praise God for it today. I'm thankful it's working in here. But if it wasn't, would we come? Would we? I'm afraid that I've been spoiled by my lives.
Right.
With blessings that I took for granted. I want to stop this morning. I invite anybody here. Would you come to the altar and talk to God wherever you got? This Lord's going to come play the piano. Let's all stand together all around the house. Is there anything that you need to talk to the Lord about today? Maybe you're needing help. And I tell you what you better do. You might want to go ahead and come seek Him this morning because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Praise God, we know who holds it. What is it that you need this morning? Would you just come talk to God? Mr. Lawrence, you play whatever's on your heart. I'm going to find me a spot down here to pray. And I encourage every one of you to bow your heads and pray. If you want to come to the altar, they're open. If you want to stay where you're at, please pray this morning as you place.
this morning, would you just bring it to the Lord? Whatever it is.